Welcome to the sixth episode of Project Habibi. My name is Ken Rafi and I am your host. For this particular episode, we're going to be having our first ever Our Halal Love Story Future on the podcast. Last week, we spoke on what makes one ready for marriage, the sisters episode, and it was quite an amazing conversation. So if you have not listened to it, make sure you check on the podcast as that conversation is still live. For today, I have Shaibu Salihu and Aminat Aliyu, and they're going to be telling us about their love story. Just, you know, drag us into the world of love and just let us feel like, oh my God, should we start running into this marriage thing? That's what we're going to be doing on this episode. I have both of them in the house and I cannot wait to get into the conversation. But before we even get started, let me give them an opportunity to introduce themselves. I'll be a bit biased, so I'll start with the wife in the house. Aminat Aliyu, please do introduce yourself.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Aliyu Aminat.
What do you do for work?
Well, I'm a staff of the Federal Fire Service.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, let me go to the husband right now. Shaibu Salihu, please introduce yourself. What do you do?
My name is Salihu Shaibu. I'm self-employed. I'm a businessman.
Okay, so I'm going to start from the very beginning. I mean, with every love story, I think everybody knows the very first question on my mind. I don't know who I should send this question to. I feel like we women usually have the best story of how did you meet. So I'll let Amina give me.
Oh my God.
Most of the time.
Give me.
You think he has the best story?
Most of the time. Yeah, I think he should.
No. She should go first. You know, ladies first.
Aww, this is how really? You know that there is love. This is how you know there is love. I mean, give me your version. If there's anything missing, I think Shaibu will fill the links for us. So how
will
about that?
Will chip in, right?
Yeah, he will chip in. So, I mean, how did you guys meet?
Well, basically, we met in our university undergraduate days. Well, it wasn't love at first sight for me, though. Because when I first met him, I kind of liked him because we've been seeing each other like in class and all, but we never got to talk. Fortunately, there was a period, a mutual friend actually, Hawa Ozumata, she kind of introduced me to him, which was just something formal though. We wanted to go and use his laptop. So that was like my first encounter, one-on-one encounter with him, and from then we've been really good friends, very good friends. Well, one thing led to another and he popped the question.
I like how she said he popped the question.
More than a friend.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. I'm going to go to Shaibu for the missing link because there are a lot of missing links, but I think he'll be able to feel links for me. Yeah, so Shaibu, she said, you know, the first time you guys met, she wanted to use your laptop and stuff, and you guys were friends. And I know that there are some missing links that you want to tell me about. So please tell me from your own version, how did you guys meet?
Actually, my first meeting with her, or will I say first time seeing her, was in the library. I was going through the library trying to get a material for our assignment, and then I saw her with the stuff we need for the assignment. She has already worked her own out, and now I was not like, okay, she's probably in our department. She didn't tell you that, but we're in the same department. And then I didn't really say anything to her till that episode of where we met about the laptop and stuff, and then friends like that.
Okay, since you're the one that did the popping of the question, I want to ask this question. What was special about Amina that made you feel like, I have to marry this person, this has to be the person I'm marrying?
Whoa. One thing that got me attracted to Amina was first of all her modesty, and then she was a very reserved kind of person, unlike others. So I was so inquisitive, I really want to know more about her. And then in the process, the more I tried getting to know about her, the more I was falling for her. And then she's intelligent, no doubt. And then I was attracted to her kind of a skin. I don't know if you've seen her before, but she's a true definition of a ebony.
All right. Let me just check in with Amina, making sure that her head hasn't broken into two. He's spoken about how you were reserved, how he noticed you, and how, you know, he felt like that was what was really special. I want to know from your own end, there was a reason why you said yes when he pops the question. There's a reason why you said, okay, yeah, I'm ready to do this nikah thing with you. What was special about him?
That's a tough one, actually. Because it didn't come, like, naturally from my own side, because then I used to have a lot of suitors back then, left, right, center. You don't know who is truthful, and it was so confusing back then. So I always try to like keep my distance. Even when you pop the question 1 million times, I just like distance myself and kind of draw a boundary. You can just be cool. But then from his own side, actually, I kind of avoided him for some time. Then he noticed and he confronted me about it. Like, that was the first for me. Yes, like, he was bold enough to come forward. Like, even when I was giving all the signs, like, I don't want that. Like, distance yourself from me, because I was of the mind, like, I don't want anything, any romantic stuff in university. Like,
yeah.
It's like, no. I was not going to get involved in any stuff like that. But later on, he kind of actually left me like I wanted. From there, anyways, I kind of felt a very huge absence after then. And from then, I knew I wanted more from him. And inshallah, Allah has granted that wish between us.
I'm glad that you say that, you know, Almighty Allah has granted the wish, because I mean, you guys are now married. And I wanted to ask, how long have you been married for?
A month and 2 days. Yeah.
A month and 2 days. Oh my God. I have like a really young couple on here. I'm so excited. I'm really happy for you guys. So, before we get to talk about the wedding, because man, the wedding can be stressful and can be exciting as well. I wanted to know, how long was your courtship? Because you said you guys met, you know, in the university. So how long did you guys, you know, do your courtship for? And are there any lessons from those periods that you feel like you can share with us? This question, I would like it to go to Shaibu at this time.
From our undergraduate days in school. So if I should get it correctly, that should be from 2015. 14/15 to date. So it became formal when I met her parents in 2019. So after which they approve of our relationship, and then my wali and stuff got to know theirs and started making preparation for the wedding. So lessons from that period, above all, is patience and perseverance. Even though there are times you just wish to back off, you know. There's this saying in Hausa, the harshi, the hakuri, tongue and the teeth used to have kind of misunderstanding, if I can use that word. At times you see tongue, the teeth will, let's say, hit the tongue, and then not that they will separate. It's just a kind of a, no matter how close you are to somebody, there are times you will just wish that person to let you be. But, you know, with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, you were able to overcome those challenges. And there are temptations left, right, front and center. But alhamdulillah, to where we are today. Biggest lesson so far, and what people have been telling us, is about the issue of third party. So even during our courtship, whatsoever happened between us stayed between us. I don't think we had another party listening to what was going on in our life. Everybody was curious, want to know, blah 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 blah. Even though it's, there are signs clearly written that things are going well between us, but you can never hear any of us complaining to another party. But when you have a third party, even if you two reconcile your differences, that third party might be like, okay, Mr. XYZ, you complain about your partner doing so and so thing, and then you still go back to him and stuff. But if it's you'll be able to manage your differences without any hindrance from a third party. I wouldn't say it's by might, but it's by the guide of Allah as our job.
That's
the biggest lesson for me.
You know, I do understand where you're coming from with that. I wanted to know, Amina, do you have anything you want to add to that? Was there any specific lesson that you learned?
I just learned that nobody can be perfect 100%. That is just the attribute of God. Even though we are humans, at the point in time, we always want to reach too far. You know, we have this perfect list, this picture perfect kind of relationship, you get me?
Yeah.
At a point in time, it taints our judgments sometimes. But if you are patient enough to see more of the good than hampering on the flaws, it's going to help a lot for future planning, like things that are going to lead to something of a long term, such as marriage.
Yeah.
Nobody is perfect and we don't know tomorrow, but so far, well, I guess I've seen enough.
Sometimes you can tell is a Friday is going to be good from a Monday. So if you see somebody having about 70% of good and just, you know, about 30% bad, you can at least manage the 70% that you get and try to see how you can, you know, turn maybe a bit of that 30% in the positive. So I get what you're saying. That's really amazing. So the wedding, because you guys said you've been married for 1 month, 2 days, which means the wedding is very fresh in your mind.
Oh my God.
What was the most exciting part of the wedding for you, Amina?
Oh my God, I can't even remember, really, to be sincere, because everything was just like, let it just be done, because it was taking a toll on me. It was more like the whole ceremony was more about the family, you get my point, right?
Mm.
It was more about the family than we, the couples. At the point in time, you kind of forget that it's about you and not just them. So, filled all the rights. I just wanted everything out of the way.
I understand where you're coming from, Amina. Because during my own wedding as well, see, me, I just wanted it to be over as well. I feel like in this age, in this time, our families sort of forget that the wedding is about the couple and they make it about themselves and they add all of these extra activities that you don't even want, but you cannot stop them from wanting to do this thing. It's a very weird thing. But, you know, Shaibu, you're a guy. I want to hear from you. You know, what was there any aspect of the wedding that was exciting for you? Or was it just as stressful as how Amina and I are expressing it?
The most exciting one was the nikah itself. At the mosque there, then when I had my name being mentioned, that I'm now husband to Amina, I was not like, really? This is it? Just praise Allah for that day. You know, I said, I've been to so many weddings and finally it's my own turn here. What really got me again was the people that turned up for the wedding, despite the distance. People that came from all walks of life. And then it was exciting seeing everybody around, everybody. He's so happy, you know, you've been together with this person and then finally it is. Then the prayers, of course, from well wishers and people around. So it was the part that got me.
Looks like you had more fun at that wedding than Amina did, and I'm happy for you. And I'm really happy for you. And yes, those are a couple of things to sort of take away, you know, when people really show up for you, especially when you, these are people that you've known over time, that can really make you feel like, oh my God, you came for my wedding. And yeah, I kind of understand where you're coming from, Shaibu. But honestly, if you put it side by side with the stress that a bride goes through, it's very easy for you to forget those good aspects of the wedding. So I'm glad that, you know, you're there to sort of remind her of those beautiful times. But, you know, I mean, I wanted to ask you something. Being that you're just like him, shall I say a newly minted bride, what do you think that families, just give me one thing that you feel like families should just stop doing when it comes to wedding, like just don't do it anymore, leave it,
like a lot of things I can't even begin to recall them. Like there's this thing they call, what do they call it, okay, I think after the nikah we had to travel from Abuja down to Niger. I was so stressed. My body was telling me what not. I couldn't even eat. I can remember the amount of times I kind of ate throughout that wedding period. I was really nervous. I was anxious. I didn't know the kind of, you know, you want to go and greet this elder. You want to go and greet that elder. You must make that round. And then we got to his own village. Oh my God. From my own part of the family, though, we're kind of large, but we don't converge. Like, everybody must be in one place just because you are having an occasion. If you can make it, fine, you can make it, but we don't try to put a strain on people. But here, it was a whole community. I'm a kind of shy person. I almost weed my pants, like, seeing the kind of crowd I met. I was like, is this necessary? I almost wanted to run. I was like, but then later on, I just think about us, that at the end of the day, it's about us. Then I just kind of just go with the flow. But I can tell you, it's very tiring, all those cultural things. But anyways, it makes them happy. So... well, I can't really say I'm going to force my kid to have that kind of arrangement.
Yeah. I feel like when it comes to nikah and the wedding and everything, I don't know why, but in Nigeria here, we say we're Muslims. We agree that we're Muslims, but when it stands for wedding, it's like all the Islamic things we're supposed to do just takes the back seat and we're just jumping culture.
Just flies culture, through the
culture.
Window.
Do you understand? We're just so focused on the culture. So maybe reduce a bit of the culture is what you're saying, and just focus more on the essence of the marriage, like what Shaibu said.
Yes.
Giving away the bride
and the well-being of the couples, because some couples get so exhausted. Some of them even collapse. Some fall sick after the wedding. Like me now, I lost my voice for over a week plus, I think.
Wow.
I lost my voice.
I'm just glad that you're doing okay. Let's leave that and move to something else right now. I want to ask you, Shaibu, you're a guy, and a lot of young men these days, it's like when they see marriage, they're going through the right road, they go and pass the left road. They don't even want to hear the conversation of it, and you know, they have all kinds of reasons. But you have gotten married, you've been married for over 1 month now. Alhamdulillah, you get to be married for many more years with beautiful children, if that's what you want. Yeah, alhamdulillah. So I wanted to ask you, in your opinion, Shaibu, why do you think that more young people should get married?
Well, getting married at a very young age has a lot of advantages, among which is aside being part of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it also gives an opportunity of seeing your offspring grow with you. They grow old with you. And then another advantage, it reduces all form of
vices.
Vices, yeah, fornication and stuff. But what I was able to derive from a lot of friends, they have intentions of getting married, but societal standard that
constraints,
on marriage has they have really derailed from the way it used to be back then in during the time of the Prophet, where maybe you see somebody you like, your parents go there, do one or two things, and next thing you have a wife at home. Now in the north especially, if you are getting married, there's what they call kayan lefe. Averagely, if you are trying to get all those stuff, if you don't have maybe depending on your understanding with your spouse, if you don't have anything close to 500,000 or more, that is average, like a poor man kind of style.
500,000 is poor man style.
To me, I'm just telling you this.
Wow. Yes, it is right now at the moment, because when inflation and everything,
situation, the way things are. So now and then you bring some of this stuff, let's say average, you'll be able to put all these things together and then take it to your in-laws house and stuff. There are some of their aunties and uncles that will see this thing and start condemning that this so-and-so thing you put in here isn't supposed to be here, you're supposed to put a bigger one, blah 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 and stuff. But with all these things, there are guys that really they want to get married, but seeing that expenses, you know, if you bring that budget for them, they'll be like, no, I can't get married, it's because of this, because of that. But I believe if maybe there will be a way like it's done in some parts of the north. There are some people that have a job that they do, but they won't be able to save that much to reach the level of marriage. And then they have little or no support from their relatives, or even do some of the kindly fee, and then one has bride. What I'm trying to drive at is that guys want to get married really, but because they have really no resources to sponsor the wedding, getting accommodation and stuff. One of the reasons. Financial constraint is what is making most guys not to get married. But really, they have intention of getting married. They are doing very well, but you say married, though, like psychologically, I'm not ready for it. They have their own reservation on that regard. Some are even scared that, okay, you might be in courtship with somebody, that person might be pretending to be what he's not or what she is not, and then you get married, that person shows you or her true color, and then you'll be ending up in regret. I'm not praying for any guy to go through such. Or a lady.
I think that's one of the biggest fears.
I get that. It's one of the biggest fears, because in the past,
realizing your spouse are not who they actually
think they are,
claim to be from the onset.
That's true.
You know, it's better for you. They say the devil you know, it's better than the angel you don't know, because sometimes some people can put up this angelic front and then later on. No, you just
switch up
enter
on
and it's another. Yes, they just switch up on you. And when you start thinking of leaving your marriage, nobody prays to leave their marriage.
Yeah.
God forbid.
Yeah.
But there are circumstances like that some people can't actually deal with. Many people have this lot of conviction. And then ladies too, why some of them don't actually want to risk going for guys or men these days that don't have something doing, because there are some people that actually they don't know what responsibility is. Because I think maybe some of these things comes from maybe upbringing and the rest. Even no matter how little it is, once you are responsible, it's going to reflect on you. Like, people will definitely see a future in you, even though you have nothing now. It will still attract a kind of marriageable
prospect. Yeah, I think I get what you're saying.
Yes,
I get what you're saying.
But when you are laid back and you're expecting
manna to sort of fall,
people just want pastime.
Yeah,
a pastime. This thing they can actually think of a future with you.
I completely get that. We're almost running out of time, which is why you see me hurrying you up. But like we always say, you know, we're Muslims and we have to always remember that everything has sort of been stated in the Quran and the Hadith.
Destined.
Yes, and also destined. So if you really know that this is something you want to do because, you know, you need to protect yourself from all of the vices out there and every other thing, if you say a sincere prayer to Almighty Allah, He will definitely make it easy for you.
Oh,
exactly. He will definitely make it easy for you. So I think we've come to the end of the episode. But before I let you guys go, just quickly, in maybe like one minute, I just want you people to give me... I know you're a young couple, but at the same time, I know that in this 1 month, you must have seen something. Because marriage tests you from the very first day you enter inside. So I want you to just give me your advice in 1 minute, because we're almost running out of time.
Like I said earlier, what most advice that I've been getting from my relative friends and well-wishers, that I should be patient. I realized that a week after my wedding, that you must be patient. Very patient, very patient. Like, it cannot be overemphasized, you know. And then issue of third party, please, very important. Don't involve third party. Even your parent, your closest, if you have bestie or whatever, just let it be between you and your husband or you and your wife. That's it. Masalam.
Thank you so much, Shaibu. Amina, what's your own one advice? Please make it different from Shaibu's own.
Well, I think everything begins and ends with Allah, and most importantly, you shouldn't make decisions when your head is kind of hot, like when you are in a heated period. Try not to make any decision, because the devil will sit down his chair he will sit down really tight and you're going to, you almost want to mess up, but anyways, you just have to, you really need God, actually. You need God.
Yes, you do.
Most importantly, you have to be very spiritual. You have to be very spiritual, because there are very testing times where you just feel like giving up. The devil starts whispering a lot of things to you, and it's just, and then coincidences start unfolding. You start seeing a pattern that was not supposed to be there. It's actually, it's very testing.
It is. It is. Thank you so much, Amina. Yeah. I've been married for 5 years. It never ends, trust me. But the good thing is that, you know, if you continue to pray, you continue to have a lot of patience, like Shaibu said. I feel like that's the one advice they always give men, because we women.
Yeah, I think there should be a ground for communication also. You should learn each other's love language.
True. That's also very important. You're an amazing couple. I hope that Almighty Allah continues to guide you, protect you, make you spend so many more years together, and also make you couples in Al-Jannah and Firdaus, bismillah ta'ala. Thank you so much for
being
our first couple guest on Project Habibi. I've enjoyed talking to you, and I'm really grateful for all of
you. Thanks for having us.
Yes, have yourself a really
good day. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. We hope that you enjoyed listening to this episode of Project Habibi. This podcast is powered by Al Imran Islamic Foundation under the initiative of Al Imran Center for Family Affairs. You can send us your contributions, suggestions, feedbacks via our email address, which you will find in the show notes, or simply follow us on Instagram @ Project Habibi.